But if you have your Bible, you got your Bible open to Amos 9, verse 13. They're going to put it up on the screens if you don't. Let's pray. Father, so thankful for today. All of the faithfulness that we've seen displayed. You are amazing, God. You're amazing. We pray, God, that you would come now and speak to us through your word. The entrance of your word gives life. It gives life and it illuminates darkness. We pray that darkness will be illuminated, God, today. We thank you that your promises are yes and amen to those that believe by faith through your Son, Jesus Christ. We commit this to you now. We pray that the preaching and the teaching of your word would not be with the eloquence of man's speech, but rather a demonstration of power. We look for a manifestation and a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's work and just a manifestation of the Spirit's work through our lives today. We don't want to just hear the word. We want to become the word. We want to see the word revealed in our lives, manifested before our eyes. We thank you for this time. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amos here declares a prophetic utterance. About 750 BC, he declares this word. You've been around the church for any length of time, no doubt you've heard this particular text. Theologians believe that it's making reference to the times of the Gentiles and the Jews when it will be fulfilled, speaking of two generations of people, and when those two times would meet, almost like a synergy coming together within time, that suddenly there's a break. There's this loosing of God's word in the earth. He tries to describe something, a season of time, with the best of his ability, with his limited vision of the time frame of which he lived, 750 years prior to the arrival of Christ. He's trying to describe what he sees in the Spirit, and he utters these words. But I want to remind you today, church, that these words have not been fulfilled. They have not been fulfilled yet. This is a prophetic utterance that has not yet come to pass in the earth. So what are you looking for? When you read this text, please understand that he's trying to verbalize to us what's about to happen in the season. It's a season of time he's making reference to. He's saying there's going to be this time in the earth when something supernatural happens. When the manifestation of the word precedes the prophetic utterance of a word, he's trying with the best of his ability to describe what he sees in the Spirit. He said, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord." Now, for some of us, we need to grab a hold of that, because this isn't Amos speaking. He says, the Lord is saying this. The days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. Think about that for a moment. I want you to just consider what the prophet is declaring here. He's saying the plowman, the one who plows the seed, the ground for the seed, she's going to overtake those. Justin, stand over there for me. Justin, you are the reaper. I need a plower. How many know that Clarence been plowing the ground here at church on the North Coast for as long as I can remember? He's a plowman in the Lord. Here he is plowing. The word, step right here, step right here. He is plowing. Come up, step right there. You stand. He's plowing and he's a reaper. He's a plower, he's a reaper. How many know that the normal order of sequence would be that the plowman would have to go before him? But in the text it says that the plowman is going to overtake him. The plowman is going to overtake the reaper. Now the plowman prepares the soil for the seed that's about to be put in the ground. And there are many in here today, and I want you to know that God's about to reward your faithful plowing over all the generations. God's about to reward all those years, all those prayers, all those nights of tears. God's about to reward the plowman in the house of the Lord, in every house in this region. Luther, I see you. God's about to reward the plowman of this season. He said there's a time coming when the plowman is going to overtake the reaper. Now the reaper, how many know that what the reaper does? The reaper is the guy at the end taking up the fruit of the harvest. The fruit of the harvest. This is when it's ready to be harvested. And the reaper's out there. In the text, he's making reference to a reaper with a sickle, and he'd be out there reaping the harvest of the Lord. He's out here reaping the harvest of the Lord. Give me a good reap. He's reaping the harvest of the Lord. And the text says there will be a day when the plowman will get in front and he'll overcome those who are reaping. Really, what he's attempting to describe is he's saying there's going to be an exponential release. There's going to be a folding over of the Word of God, of the promises of God in the earth. He's saying there's going to be a time in the earth when you pray it out of your mouth and suddenly, as soon as you get it out of your mouth, the earth is going to manifest the promises spoken. You see, we've got to teach ourselves to expect the promise rather than believe the lie. Jacob said, I didn't know who I was. And it was that he was believing all the lies. He said, I believed all the lies. There were too many lies being told to me. God's declaring there's coming a day in the earth when the Word of God is going to be so powerful. The soil going to be so rich that when the seed goes in, the reaping comes out. Suddenly it will fold over on one another. Thank you, gentlemen. Suddenly there's this folding over of the Word. The treader of grapes, him who sows seed. Speaking again, this exponential folding over. Another translation, and then it says, the mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. The mountains are going to drip, and all the hills are going to flow. Speaking of mountains and valleys, and suddenly the word of the Lord is going to be so rich in the earth that it's going to drip, that as soon as you speak a word of the Lord, it's going to manifest the truth. As soon as you declare a promise, it's going to manifest. God's saying, I'm rewarding those who have plowed for centuries, for years. I'm rewarding your faithfulness. It's not by what you've done, it's but by my faithfulness. And you've been faithful with little, so I'm going to reward you with much. The season of the plowman's about to be rewarded in the house of the Lord. There have been many grandmas and grandpas have been praying prayers for years. I said, I pray that you would bring revival. He's here describing revival in the land. I pray that revival would sweep through the land. Where's the revival that they speak of? And how many times I get the question asked to me, Troy, where's the revival? Where's the revival? Where's the revival? I turned to the Lord and say, Lord, where's the revival? Where's the revival? I can't see it. He said, open your eyes. There's a season in the land now where the plowman's overtaking the reaper. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. Suddenly the faithfulness of God is being rewarded in the earth. There's another translation, the New Living Translation says this. It says the time will come. I love the word of the Lord. He says that so matter-of-factly. The time will come. The time's going to come. When grain and grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. He said, there's a time coming in the earth. Take courage, you little Christian. You take courage. There's a time when the grain and the grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. All the toil, all the prayers, God's saying there's a time that's coming on the earth where I'm about to answer you, and it's going to be such a release of the answer. It's going to fold over. It's going to be exponential. Then the terraced vineyards on the hills of Israel will drip with sweet wine. There is coming a time when the fulfillment of God's promises will be so overwhelming, you'll not be able to sow fast enough. The question is, are you sowing? The question is your hand to the plow? The question is, are you reaping? There's a generation that's plowing. There's a generation that's reaping. Are you out there reaping? Are you out there sowing? My appeal to you today is get busy plowing. Get busy reaping. Make busy. Come on, today is the day of salvation. There's a souls that weigh in the balance. There's thousands upon thousands waiting for the plowmen and the reapers to take their positions. season of instantaneous release. You said that's hyper faith. That's hyper faith. That's not real. I didn't declare this utterance. I didn't declare it. Amos declared it. He declared it 3,000 years ago. I'm just telling you. I'm just making it real for you. I'm just explaining to you that this promise has not been fulfilled yet, but I sense it. We're right on the precipice of a break free, of a breakthrough, of something, of a loosing of a dam that's about to break loose in the earth. The faithfulness of God's people believing in the promises of God rather than embracing the lies of the enemy. There's an avalanche of God's promises being fulfilled. When I consider this text, I'm reminded of what an avalanche does. If you've ever seen any videos of avalanches, you'll notice that there's this sudden disturbance of what's been there for possibly years and years and years on the mountainside. There's this stacking of snow by individual snowflakes, one snowflake at a time, one promise at a time, one prayer at a time, one faithful service at a time, and it's been stacking up and stacking up and stacking up on the mountainside until the snow is so deep that suddenly, just with one more snowflake, just one more gentle touch, you say, I can't do it. There's nothing I can do. I declare you are the snowflake. I declare you are the one act of God's promise. You are the one who will release an avalanche of God's love so powerful that it'll sweep down the mountainside. Take with it trees and boulders, things you said it can't be moved. There's no way God could do this in our time. There's no way God could turn economic poverty into economic wealth. There's no way God could turn an addiction of heroin on its side. There's no way he could restore and release his promises and his goodness to a generation who's lost and don't know who they are. There's no way. They're a lost generation. They're a lost cause. But God said one snowflake, just one touches it, Jacob. I declare you're the snowflake. You touch it and suddenly, just with one act, just with one word, just with one promise, you touch it and suddenly you release the potential that's been locked up by the plowman for centuries, for years, since 750 B.C., they've been talking about this prophetic utterance. And I declare you are the generation that shall touch it. You are the one who will create a sudden disturbance. And if you've ever seen an avalanche, it takes everything with it. It takes everything with it. The Spirit of the Lord said, I'm taking everybody with it. I'll take the sinners. I'll take the drug addicts. I'll take the hopeless, the depressed. I'll take the divorced. I'll take the abandoned. I'll take the orphans. I'm going to take it all. All I need is some plowmen and some reapers to get out into the field and get busy. I need you to get out there. He said, just let yourself fall in a place that's rich with potential in the kingdom. He's talking about revival. We talk about revival in the church all the time. We talk about it. We talk about it, but I'm not sure we understand that what we're talking about is hard work. It's an overwhelming assignment. You know, Wycliffe, it's an overwhelming assignment. God said, if you'll just plow. If you'll just plow, I'll create such a release of the Spirit of the Lord in the earth that I'll sweep up generations, sweep up schools and college campuses, political systems, politicians, the economy. I'll sweep it up. I'll sweep it up with just one act, because there's coming a time, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper. Do you believe it? There's coming a time. You can sense it. You can feel it. Everywhere I go, I can feel it. I get around God's people, and you know, there's this like, oh, you feel it? Yeah, I feel it. I feel something. Something's about to happen. And suddenly, it doesn't matter where we're at. We could be in a bar. We could be at a ball game. We could be wherever. But suddenly, just with one act, one release of a promise, and suddenly there's this deluge that begins to fold over on itself The avalanche folds over on itself. The snow that's on top suddenly cascades down. And the snow that was on the bottom, it comes around to the top. And it reminds the snow on the top when it landed. It said, I want to remind you, I started this thing. I want to remind you, I've been around here for a while. I've been sowing seed for a long time. I've been looking for revival over in northeastern Ohio for a long, long time. Seasoned saints, you say that you get to stand up and stand your chest out and say, I planted. I'm the one who took the rocks out of the soil. I remember when this territory right here, this ground right here, was tilled up for the Lord. How many remember that when they laid the foundations here? I remember driving by, looking over there. Them people are crazy over there. Look at those crazy. Then I became one. Those crazy people over there. They had to tear up the ground to lay the foundation. I want to be a part of God's avalanche. I just want to be a part of it. I want to be a catalyst. I want to be one of the snowflakes. I don't want to be all of them. I just want to be one of them. Isn't it amazing how God says, I'll let you be a part of it, and you be a part of it, and you, and you, and you. All who wish can be a part of this great avalanche of God in the earth. I just want to be a part of it. People say, what are you doing? Why are you opening all these churches? Troy, what are you trying to do out there in Avon? I declare to them, I'm trying to start an avalanche. I'm just trying to be one snowflake landing in the right place. Come on, I just want to land in the right place somewhere where it creates a disturbance in the snow that's been there for years. There have been people praying out there for years and just waiting for somebody to be faithful. So I just want to be the one snowflake that creates a sudden disturbance on the earth and then cascades of his mercy, cascades of his grace, cascades of his love begin to fall over. The Bible says, Amos declared, the mountains are going to drip. They're going to drip with the wine of his presence. The valleys, them shall be full of his glory. I want to be a part of it. That's what I'm trying to do. I just want to be a part of God's avalanche. One snowflake can create a sudden disturbance so strong that it sets in motion a force so powerful. I want to remind you of the potential within you today, church. Child of God, I want to remind you of the potential, the hope of glory. Somebody mentioned it, the hope of glory in you. This potential. Just because you don't see it now, don't you start believing in the lie just because you don't see it now. There have been snowflakes buried by time, still full of the truth of God's promise. The same power that raised Christ from the dead still abides in you. Even though you're 3 feet down in the snowbank, even though you're way down there, don't you let go of your potential. Don't you start believing that it's not going to happen. I don't care what the doctor said about stomach cancer. You have the great potential of the hope of glory residing on the inside of you. I don't care what man says. All that you got to do is grab a hold of the word of the Lord and declare, though he slay me, yet shall I praise him. I won't let go of what he declared. I'd rather die in faith than live in doubt. I'd rather die in my testimony than live in my doubt. I'm just going to lay down here and keep believing God. I know it keeps snowing. I know it keeps stacking up. I know they keep mocking me. I know they keep declaring, where are these promises that you keep declaring? Where are they? I don't see them being released yet. Time's going to reveal it. Time's going to reveal it. Behold, the day is coming. Behold, the day is coming. There's a day coming in the Lord where it's about to break free in the earth. And it overtakes everything. Suddenly the previous layer is shaken loose. It's a shaking loose, joining the force as it cascades over seemingly immovable objects. Trees and boulders become swept up in the movement of one gentle touch of a single disturbance by God's love. It just takes one gentle touch of God's love. It's just one gentle touch of God's love when I was in a place where I did not deserve it. I did not deserve it. I can tell you, I did not deserve the grace I didn't deserve it. I remember where I was. I remember being drunk. I was intoxicated when one gentle touch of his love shook me into sobriety and said, listen, I got plans for you. I got great things in store for Northeast Ohio, and you're a part of them. You're just one snowflake of a billion more, but we're about to do something in the earth. Just one gentle touch. I want to be that one gentle touch from the Holy Spirit today to remind you, if you're discouraged, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling like the promises are way off, they may never come to you. I want to be, just touch somebody next to you and say, I'm the one gentle touch encouraging you today. I'm encouraging you in the Spirit of the Lord today and declare, you can do it. Don't let go of your potential. One snowflake reveals what has been hidden for possibly centuries. One snowflake does this. One snowflake does this. Don't you ever think that it doesn't matter. We got to stop believing that it doesn't, that today doesn't count, that right now doesn't count, that when I'm at McDonald's, it doesn't count. It counts. Every one of those moments count. But we've so lied to ourselves and tried to convince ourselves that we need to do it the way the world declares. Because what we're used to is instantaneous faith. If I pray, I want to see. But God says you're going to pray prayers, you're going to plant seeds that you're never going to witness. You're never going to take shade under the trees and the seeds you plant. You're going to have to be willing to be faithful with these single moments of God. Just those single nudges when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and says, say this, do that, pay for this, do that. Suddenly then there'll be this release of an avalanche of God's Spirit in the earth. Deep beneath the surface, there's this potential to overtake the valleys and to fill them with prophetic overflow. An avalanche, it creates a release of God's promises. That's what an avalanche does. It's a release. It's a trigger of God's promises. If we've ever needed in our generation a trigger of God's promises, we need it now. We need it now. We need to remind people that He's still alive. He's still alive. You might have tried to bury Him, but He's still alive. He's not dead. He rose on the third day. He's resurrected. He reigns supreme and powerful and majestic and glorious. He's still alive, and He can be alive today inside of you that are watching online. You that are sitting here today, you're saying, I don't know what you're talking about, but I feel something in this house. You can hasten the season of avalanche in your life. I'll close with this. I'll close first with this. You can hasten it. Galatians 6:8 says, he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. We see a lot of that. We look around, we see corrupt culture, corrupt economy, corrupt police forces. We see corruption in our political world because we see a lot of sowing to the flesh, but he who sows to the Spirit, if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. The whole premise of Amos 9:13 surrounds itself around a seed being sown. A seed. You'll sow the seed, then God can begin to activate the plowman and the reaper. If we'll begin to sow the seed of God's promises in every area, unrelenting, undaunted by the lies of the enemy, if we'll embrace the truth of the inheritance that we have in Him as sons and daughters. So when He says, I have given you these things as my son or my daughter. Just begin to trust in them and begin to declare them in the face of every lie, every time the enemy whispers in your ear that you should go back and trust that. Just declare to him the promises of God. Begin to sow in every area of your life. You can sow an avalanche. You can begin to set in motion with the sowing of God's word. Just one more prayer. Just one more confession of God's truth over my life. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the head and not the tail. I shall overcome. He is victorious. I am victorious. As he is in this earth, so am I. You suddenly begin to declare these things. You can create an avalanche of God's love, mercy, grace, success in your life. That suddenly begin, the plowman begins to be overtaken. He'll overtake the reaper. There begins this exponential release of God's promises over your life. You can activate it in your life. Sow the word. Declare the word of God over everything. The government, our children, the finances, sickness, everything. With every word, you increase the capacity to create an avalanche in your life. Create layers of potential with the word of God in your life by declaring it every day. You can create an avalanche. You can create a release of God's promises so powerful in your life that it sweeps you up with it. That's revival. Revival is that. Revival is when you get swept up into his promises and there's nothing you could do about it. That suddenly there's this release of God's promises where even if you tried to swim against the promise, you couldn't. That's revival. This is what the prophet is declaring today. Today. Lastly, I'll close with this. Live with an awareness of the valley. Live with an awareness of the valley. There are some here today who will feel like they are in the valley. If you're in the valley of life, this word is for you. Because the avalanche, it's really not for us. It's really not for us at the top. It's really for those who are living in the valley. The avalanche is for those who are unaware of the effects of the disturbance high on the mountain. They don't know. You don't know what's about to happen. But if you're in a valley, God's saying, man, I'm about to send a release of my promises into the valley that will be so powerful that it's going to sweep up everyone at the bottom. Perhaps this is what he meant when he said the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Maybe he meant that, you know, those at the bottom really reveal the faithfulness of God and where they don't deserve it. But those up at the top think maybe we deserve it because we've been so faithful. And God said, no, I'm going to remind you of my faithfulness by blessing those at the bottom rather than those at the top. And I'm going to use you to pour out my grace down into the valley. I'm going to remind you of how powerful my love is, of how scandalous my grace is, about how messy this thing can get. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine and all the hills shall flow to it. Are you in the valley today? The mountains say, they say are going to drip into the valley. Are you living in a tomb today? In that valley, has the enemy locked you up in failure, depression, or poverty? Zechariah 14:4 declares, and in that day his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. I can't wait for you to see this, Pastor Jim. This is going to be amazing. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two in that day. From east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. Stay with me. First, Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. There's this place on the top of the Mount of Olives where you look down in the Kidron Valley in Jerusalem. And as you look down into the valley, it goes probably half a mile down and a half a mile back up on the other side. And on the other side, it says, on the east side of the gates of Jerusalem. Now, the east gate is locked up because the Muslims now have control of the Temple Mount. So they blocked it up. They laid block and it's sealed shut. Zechariah declared that there's coming a day when Jesus is going to return. His foot's going to touch on this side of the mountain. His foot's going to touch it. And when it does, suddenly there's this sea of dead people down there. I want to remind you, all the patriarchs lay dead in these tombs for about a mile down and up on the other side. All the patriarchs, they lay dead down there. King David's way down at the bottom. You can see it. If you go to Jerusalem, you can see. If you go to Israel, you can see it down there. Jesus declared, he said, I'm coming. And I'm coming for those who live in the valley. Prophetically, Zechariah declares, he's coming for those of us who live in the valley. For those of us the enemy has killed in the valley and left dead in the valley, forsaken by this world, left dead for nothing. God's declaring, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for those who are in the valley of distress, in depression, in discouragement, overcome by addiction, overcome by circumstances that you had no control over. You're laying dead in the valley of life, but I'm coming. And when I'm coming, when I come, my foot will gonna touch the top of this mountain. On that day, when my foot touches the top of this mountain, there's going to be this quaking in the earth that's going to break open the earth, and those who are dead are about to spring to new life. Those who are dead are about to come back to life. I'm here to declare to you today that God's come for you who are in the valley now, and he's come to give you life. He's come to bring you back to life. He's come to resurrect your dead situation, your dead life, your forsaken life, your addicted life. He's come to resurrect you back to life. It says, then the dead in Christ, they get to see it all go down. They get to see him walk through the east gate, take his place up in the Temple Mount where he belonged. They get to watch it happen. God's saying, I'm going to give to this generation that's in the valley, those who are being abused, those who are being afflicted, those who are being overcome by the power and the potentates of this world, I'm going to give them a front row seat to my resurrection power. I'm going to make them a part of the glory that's about to be poured out on the earth. It is a prophetic utterance that speaks to us today that says, you are a part of it. He's going to bring you back to new life. He's going to fill you with power. He's going to fill you with hope, and he's going to raise you up to such a place where you get to watch the greatest unfolding of God's glory ever, ever released in the face of the earth. Come on, give him praise today, church. Amen. Those living in tombs, you're about to come to life. This word for you today. Come on with me. Can you stand to your feet? If you would declare to me today, I want to be a part of the avalanche. I want to be a part of that. Altar ministers, if you can come forward now. These altar ministers are coming forward. If you need prayer today, we want to pray for you. Mark 2, verse 17 says, when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. You see, we gather together today under that banner that all of us, broken, hurting, sick, and in need of a Savior. With your head bowed, your eye closed, I would make an appeal on behalf of Christ today. If you do not know him, nor his love, he's come today to reveal himself to you. He loves you so very much. He wants you to be with him in heaven, but more importantly, he wants you to be the catalyst for heaven on the earth. If you've never surrendered your heart to Christ, this moment belongs to you. If you're in the valley of life, overcome by situations, if the doctor said something that doesn't agree with the fulfillment of the atonement of Christ in your life, this moment is for you. If you need and encouragement in your life that says you have a purpose and God has a plan for your purpose in the earth. This moment is for you. Lord, we call out to you now and we declare, if we don't know you, we call upon you. We declare, Lord, that we recognize this great chasm that exists between us and you. We surrender our lives to you in this moment and we declare we want to live for you. We confess all of our sins and we say, come live in me, change my life, make it count. Make me an avalanche in this earth. I call upon your name, King Jesus. I take your righteousness, you take my sin. Thank you for that. I now covenant and promise to live for you all the days of my life because you died for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you lift those who are discouraged in this moment. You lift them out of the valley. You cause them to come to life in their valley right now. Valleys of discouragement, oh, valleys of depression now being filled with God's presence, raising you to new life, raising you to new purpose and destiny. Thank you, Lord, for giving hope in this moment to those that need it most. We bless you. We love you. We thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a great big hand today. Yes. Listen, before you leave, if you prayed any of those prayers, we want to see you right now. We want to pray with you. You can come this way before you go that way. Also, if this was your first time with us today, we would love, as a pastoral staff, to sit down, talk with you, introduce ourselves to you. We'd like to meet you right back there at that television to just greet you and let you know a little bit more about Church on the North Coast. God bless you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you next week, or we'll see you tonight, Avon at the Life Group or Avon at 12 noon. God bless you as you go. Please come now for prayer if you'd like it.